What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha.
Okay, we had a little bit of a replay there in the background, but welcome to our show. It is Thursday, September 19th. Sure happy it's Thursday. And the interesting thing is, when I got up this morning, I just put on this T-shirt, which I got in Hawaii, and it says, I survived the Hawaii ballistic missile. And it's a reference to that very ugly incident where the emergency warning system in Hawaii was activated with a message. And apparently, it has happened again. The police department was training a new dispatcher on live equipment, and they sent out a warning of an imminent tsunami. And it took them 12 minutes for the state agencies to confirm to the public it was a false alarm, compared with the 28-minute delay for the ballistic missile. So, boy, oh boy, that's kind of a rough thing. So I just thought it was so funny that I had worn this shirt, and then we get this news story. All right, let's get into some more serious stuff here. First of all, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and observations. Israel's elections are pretty much over. They got a few more ballots to count, but at this point, the results are pretty much in. And Benny Gantz's party nudged ahead with 32 seats to Netanyahu's 31 in the 120-member Knesset. And both parties actually fared worse than they did back in April, when each one secured 35 seats. But the Israeli people have kind of sent a message that they think it's time for Benjamin Netanyahu to go, to be fired, to be pink-slipped. And apparently Benny Gantz, who's never been close friends with Netanyahu, feels exactly the same way. He's saying he's going to form a unity government without Netanyahu. It will exclude the current prime minister, and that basically signals the end of Bibi's era. And now, of course, he's going to have to face those corruption charges. But there was a lot of shifting of political parties, and apparently enough Arab politicians got in where they may be the new opposition, which I think would probably improve things a little bit. So, and of course, this is going to impact Donald Trump, because Trump relied on Netanyahu for a lot of political support, and now that is pretty much gone. And so this election is going to have repercussions all over the world, especially in Washington, D.C. So the only positive fact is the Palestinian Israelis, according to Netanyahu, the Arab hordes who want to destroy the Jewish state, they voted to eliminate him. The Palestinian parties and the anti-Zionist communists who joined the alliance list alliance achieved very pleasing results with about 13 Knesset seats. So if Benny Gantz approaches them, he can form a coalition government, and he doesn't have to involve Likud, and he doesn't have to involve Netanyahu. Gilad Atzmon wrote an article today, The Only Jewish Ghetto in the Middle East, talking about the results from the elections, saying that, yeah, the Jewish state is an ultra-nationalist right-wing swamp. It's more hawkish than ever, as long as they get the free weapons from the United States of America here. So, anyway. Now, Benny Gantz himself is in a little bit of trouble up in a Dutch court in The Hague. A Palestinian Dutch citizen, Ismail Ziada, is seeking justice for Israel's killing of six members of his family during its 2014 assault on Gaza. Now, Ziadahols Gantz, who was the Israeli army chief at the time, and Amir Eshel, then the Air Force chief, responsible for the decision to bomb the family's home in the Al-Barij refugee camp. So we'll see if that sticks or not. But Benny Gantz looks like he's on his way to being the new prime minister with his blue and white party. Anyway, all righty. According to the Gulf War report, the U.S. is starting preparations for a war with Iran. They're just going to go ahead and move forward and say Iran was behind all of this. Now, here's something that's interesting. I saw somewhere photos of the weapons or the remains of the weapons that Saudi Arabia put on display. They're marked with English code numbers, serial numbers, abbreviations, which I don't think you would find in weapons made in Iran or made in Yemen. So again, raises the possibility this thing was a false flag stunt to create a pretext for war with Iran. There were a lot of people who were pointing out it didn't look like there was that much damage to the petroleum facilities. Plus, the targeting was pinpoint. And there's the fact that these drones and missiles just blew through all of Saudi Arabia's defenses. Which, by the way, Russia's weapons salesmen are already exploiting. Going up saying, the U.S. Patriot couldn't save Saudi Arabia here. You want the S-400. They miss a trick. Old Putin's already out there pushing more of their weapons. Now, Iran's foreign minister is threatening all-out war if the U.S. or Saudi Arabia launch military strikes in retaliation for the drone and missile attacks on Saudi oil sites. Javad Zarif told CNN Tehran hoped to avoid conflict, adding the country was willing to hold discussions with its regional rivals Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. But the top Iranian diplomat rejected any talks with Washington, D.C. unless the U.S. ends the sanctions, as promised under the 2015 nuclear deal, which President Trump pulled out of last year, triggering this escalation. Okay, we're going to take a phone call now. Jim in Illinois, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. A couple of things. The Fed had to give the banks more money last night. Did you know that?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing, this story about this intelligence officer who was very disturbed regarding a conversation that had that Trump had with a foreign prime minister or president, and he blew the whistle on the conversation, and now I guess the inspector general wanted the Congress wanted him to testify, and he said no. What do you make of this story?
I'm not sure. It looks like another ginned up reason, you know, to harass President Trump. And again, we know that the New York Times, when they ran that story about the Russian agent or the agent in Russia who had to be extracted, they misrepresented the facts because they said this agent was pulled out because of concerns about leaks coming from Trump's administration officials. But the reality is this spy was extracted quite a while ago because of leaks coming from the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm. But this whistleblower stated this is something that happened over the summer, and I asked myself, if Trump didn't do anything wrong, why doesn't he just show the transcript or the recording exactly who he was talking to and what the conversation was?
Well, my guess is that Trump, especially when he's dealing with Israel, is probably saying a lot of things that they don't want the American people to hear.
Hmm. Even though we do have a right to hear that?
Well, we're supposed to have a right to hear that. We're supposed to have a transparent government, but our government is less and less transparent. And I'm going to have more on that very topic in a little while.
Okay, then. Well, I will let you go. I'll be listening. You take care.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open again, 800-313-9443. And getting on back here. Now, apparently, somebody over at Fars News wrote an editorial which stated that the goal of the attack on Saudi Arabia was to bring down Donald Trump's 2020 presidency. And so this thing is getting murkier and murkier. It's almost like Saudi Arabia is admitting it was a false flag and they did it to themselves. Again, looking at the remains of the weapons that were put on display by Saudi Arabia, the markings are all in English. They look like they're NATO weapons, to be very honest, which would certainly explain, you know, how they were able to penetrate Saudi Arabia's air defenses. And in all possibility, if Saudi Arabia was in on this, they just shut it all down. But again, Russia's weapons salesmen are already out there around the world saying, see, that the American air defense systems don't work. Need ours. All right, we're going to take another phone call from Joe in Tennessee. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, that previous caller brought up the topic of that person spying in on Trump, because that's basically what it was. The intelligence service is not supposed to spy on an elected president, and it's just another example of why Trump has to clean house. They need to be arrested now. Brennan and Clapper need to be in chains.
Yep.
And an example needs to be made. I mean, you know, FDR, if he's at war, we got people saying, oh, he's talking to Churchill. You know what he said? To make political points and to make him look bad? I mean, this is incredible that they're still doing this. And I hope it lights a fire under Barr and these deep state people are not going away. Trump has to destroy them. But what I'm calling about first is Corey Lewandowski and the congressional hearings. I've called many times and said keep the congressional hearings go. I mean, it's a way for Republicans and Trump to get his message out to people that normally don't carry his message, like CNN and MSNBC. I mean, they put it on TV to watch Trump's aide squirm, and meanwhile, his first 5-minute speech just blew the whole collusion delusion away and made the Democrats look like fools. And I think even Pelosi's waking up to the fact that these hearings are being used because the public really does. Most of the public gets their news from the news, the mainstream media. They don't really know what really happened. And the Republicans are starting to just propel their own version of what happened, their propaganda, and getting it out into the mainstream. And I think Pelosi's finally realizing the game they're playing. And with Lewandowski, what I loved about him was his contempt for them. And this is what Trump, I love about Trump. You never have an aide to Bush or any Estelle or Romney. You never would see that contempt towards the Congress. And they are contemptible. They should be held in contempt. They should be talked to in contempt, what they're doing.
Yes.
And you wouldn't see that. And Trump is really, that's what, you know, I've always said, you know, he's brash. He can be rude. People get angry about him tweeting or doing things that are so-called unpresidential. But when you deal with these, you know, these bagel salesmen from Brooklyn, these Sheila Jackson losers, you got to treat them with the contempt they deserve because they're contemptuous. You don't have to be respectful to people that are such slime. And I just love it because this is what the right has missed for a long time, to treat these, don't worry about the PC stuff. Let them call you racist all day long. I mean, Trump has a rally in New Mexico. 40% of the people there are Hispanics. They're waking up to it. Most Hispanic people don't want their kids being taught about transsexualism, and you know, they want their boys to be boys. You know, they don't want an abortion on demand. So it's great to see. I wish he'd go to Detroit and have a rally where a bunch of black folks are, because why shouldn't black people be, you know, start liking on Trump? I mean, he's done a lot for them. And let them see through the charade and the conditioning.
I don't think it's an issue that Trump is doing a really great job, so much as the fact that people are they're getting turned off by the Democrats, by the Democratic approaches, what they're saying at the debates, this constant hammering of far-left PC, and as you pointed out, transsexualism and all this other stuff that's being forced into the schools. And I think it's a case of the American people not really liking Trump, but they dislike the Democrats a lot more.
Well, you know, I work on ships, and I work with a lot of black guys, and our politics are a lot different. But, like, on issues okay. like transsexualism and things like this, it, we totally, like, we're buddies. And I really actually get along very well with black people because I'm honest, and they like yeah. that. And when I was giving out the 9/11 DVDs on the street corner in Daytona, the black people yeah. were a lot more receptive to taking DVDs because they've been screwed over by the government for a long time. And if they identify with Trump as far as the way he's being treated, because everybody can see the way he's being unfairly treated, you know?
Yes.
The black people aren't blind. It's like labor. It's like the labor leaders are all corrupt Hillary fans, or the guy on the floor and in the shop, he's all pro-Trump. And it's black people, I think, are a lot like that. I think it's their leadership and the people that the black faces you see on TV, they all spout all this nonsense. But if you meet people, you know, if you work with them and you hang out with them, you find out, hey, they think a lot like me, you know?
Uh-huh.
Just you don't really get to know that. So I think that Trump is really doing a great – he's kind of like everybody gets exposed somehow. There's some, like, magic about Trump. He's an agent of the apocalypse, you know, the exposing of the secrets. Everybody seems to just show who they are around Trump. And when he went to California, that was a real shot across the bow of the Democrats. I mean, that's a one-party state. And he's going out there, he's going to be raising a ton of money out there and giving
yes.
Republicans out there a little bit of hope. And I think this is a wonderful tactic. And I think New Mexico scared the hell out of the Democrats, and it should.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of Hispanic people. You know, people talk about, you know, illegal aliens coming here, and they're going to be an arm of the Democratic Party. Well, I mean, some of them might. But I think when they've been here a while and they're working and their kids are in school, I think they're going to go because they're naturally, most of them are Catholic and they're conservative.
Yes.
So I mean, once they get assimilated, I really think that they'll be just like, you know, everybody else. If anything, I think they'll be culturally definitely more on the side of the Republican.
Well, California, like Texas, is now in play. The 2018 midterms came as a real shock to the GOP at how many districts flipped from red to blue. So Trump definitely needs to get out there and press the flesh and rally the voters out there. And he's got to do something about Texas too. If he loses Texas, he's not going to be president any longer.
Well, I think Trump's got a lot more surprises. Once again, I think Trump is sitting back holding all the cards, and I think that he's going to play them as he needs them, but he's going to wait till the pot gets bigger. I mean, if I was sitting in Trump's chair right now, as long as I got Barr to go ahead with the D-class and start looking into a lot of these corruption issues, I mean, he's just going to – I think it's a slow drip, and it's slowly going to come out. And I think the more – just let him keep exposing himself. By the time the election comes, the media is going to have no credibility left. You know?
Yes.
None. And, no,
they
you know,
have
when
very little right now.
Well, they have hardly any. And Nadler, his committee, I mean, basically Lewandowski just destroyed Nadler. Nadler's probably going to get primaried and lose because he's, you know, the left doesn't tolerate losers. One thing about him. And I kind of agree with that position. I think, you know, like I said, it's great to lose on principle, sort of. I'd rather win, you know, and if I have to fight dirty, you know, because that's how you get your principles implemented, you know. So I always say that's what I love Ron Paul, but, you know, Ron Paul was too nice. You're dealing with, look at the Judiciary Committee. That's what you deal with.
So was Biden in 2016. Anyway, Joe, got to let you go. Got to take
Thank
a break for commercials. We will be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just trash yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here and getting on back to the news here. Interesting little article basically laying out that if Yemen is able to launch these kind of attacks into Saudi Arabia with or without Iran's assistance, it's sending a signal that the time has come to end the war in Yemen and to stop the U.S. economic warfare against Iran, because things are getting very serious and we're looking at a potential for World War III. Now, Iran and Russia have formed this alliance, which means if we go into Iran, we'll be in direct conflict with the Russians. That would be a bad thing. Okay, over in Syria, Idlib is still a major hub for the U.S.-backed militants. It's a key stronghold. And over the past years, anti-government armed groups suffered defeats all across the country and withdrew towards northwestern Syria. So the decision of the Syrian army to allow encircled militants to withdraw towards Idlib enabled the rescue of thousands of civilians who were being used as human shields. But now, of course, they're all piled into Idlib, And that suggests that at some point, the Syrian Arab army is going to go clean Idlib out. By the way, somebody sent me this search from DuckDuckGo of photographs of the damage done to Raqqa by the U.S. war. And it's an eye-opener, and people need to see. These wars aren't clean. They're not neat the way the movies try and make them. There's a lot of destruction, a lot of damage, not just killing civilians, but damage to infrastructure, damage to buildings. Places are in ruins. Every place the United States goes into, they wreck the place. Okay. Now, getting back to Syria, apparently Russia had several agreements with Israel about exactly where they could carry out airstrikes, and Israel, being Israel, reneged on those agreements and started attacking positions that were supposed to be off limits. So Russia reportedly has given Syria the green light to use the S-300 system against Israeli warplanes. That is going to really ramp things up. Now, the danger here is that Israel is flying the F-35, which is this hideously expensive and not very good warplane, $1.5 trillion to develop it. And if Syria were to shoot one of them down, that would be it for the F-35 sales internationally. Nobody's going to buy a plane that costs that much and can get shot down. It's supposed to be stealthy, but apparently Russia's newest radar systems are able to overcome the stealth. Apparently up in Afghanistan, there was a U.S. drone strike, and they hit basically a pine nut farm. And they hit it after dark. 200 farmers were just relaxing for the night. And all of a sudden, the U.S. is dropping Hellfire missiles down from drones in the sky and just blowing these people up. 30 pine nut farm workers in Afghanistan were killed. And I don't think a pine nut farm represents a legitimate military target. What would be the purpose outside of terror? What can I tell you? All right, China has ordered 150,000 anti-riot officers to be stationed near Hong Kong to get ready for action ahead of the country's National Day, which is October 1st. And they're trying to send a message to the anti-government protesters that they are likely to get hurt. They don't calm down. See what happens on October 1st. China is still convinced that the U.S. is behind this. And let's see. Should be. No, we still got a little more time here. Apparently, China and Russia are having a large military drill. And China is sending strategic bombers, tanks, and 1,600 troops to Russia for this drill, which also includes forces from the regional members of the Collective Security Treaty Organization and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. This includes India, Pakistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan. They're obviously working at learning how to coordinate these armed forces from these multiple nations. I imagine things are a little tense between the Indian forces and the Pakistani forces. Everybody's tooling up. Everybody's getting ready for a big one. Okay. Another article on the F-35. I think I've already covered that well enough. The F-35 illustrates a problem with weapons procurement in this country. And that is the way that it's handled, with subcontracts going into all these voting districts. The project eventually becomes unkillable. because Congress can't cancel a program without taking jobs away from their own constituents, and they don't like to do that, especially with an election coming up. All righty, let me just type a message to our control room. So these projects take on a life of their own, and it can be very, very hard to end them. Okay. All righty. Just talking with our control room here. All right, let's talk about our domestic politics here a little bit. And I'm not in agreement with this. People are starting to ridicule Biden's mental deterioration. Some are saying it's dementia. Certainly coming out with that comment about creating jobs for 770 million women in a country with a population of only 330 million. Biden keeps saying these bizarre things. And a lot of people are really wondering about his real mental condition here. Now, former President Jimmy Carter, who is himself now 95, is saying there should be a presidential age limit past which it can be assumed their minds are starting to go. And I think he said something like 80 would be a good number. And, of course, Biden and Sanders are already over that limit. But, yeah, definitely need some young blood in this presidential campaign. Speaking of young blood in the campaign, the de Blasio campaign is basically on life support. They had a poll in New York. He didn't even get 1%. So we may see him drop out of the race very, very soon. All righty. U.S. Attorney General William Barr has invoked the state secrets privilege to cover up Saudi involvement in 9/11. And apparently the Trump administration is taking extraordinary steps to continue the 18-year cover-up of Saudi government involvement in the September 11th, 2001 terror attacks. And Barr has declared there's a reasonable danger that releasing the report would risk significant harm to national security. Meaning, if we release this report, everybody's going to know that the U.S. government lied. I mean, if Saudi Arabia really took part in 9/11, why didn't we bomb them? Why did we go into Afghanistan? Why did we go into Iraq when even George W. Bush said that Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11? So, if the report came on out saying that, yes, Saudi Arabia was involved, Americans reading it would say, okay, why has this been kept from us for all these years, and what else is being kept from us? Right now, the American people are developing a healthy skepticism. They're developing their analytical skills. They don't trust everything the government says. They don't trust anything the government says, or for that matter, the corporate media, especially after that spectacular fail with Kavanaugh. Now, Department of Justice Inspector General Michael Horowitz confirms he's currently in communication with the U.S. Attorney from Connecticut, John Durham. And apparently he revealed this when Horowitz testified before the House Committee on Oversight and Reform yesterday morning. Now, we don't know what he's in communication about, but I have a question here. Where is the McCabe indictment? It's been a week since the Inspector General's final report on McCabe went over to the Department of Justice. And everybody's saying, yeah, there are crimes in there. Now we're finding out that the Inspector General wanted to charge James Comey for criminal activity that he kept, committing. And that never happened. So I'm waiting to see what Barr does with McCabe. because I have a feeling he's going to find some way to just say, nah, we can't do this. We can't ruin this man's life here. All right, we're going to take another phone call. John in Michigan, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I'd like to talk about why we went into Afghanistan.
Okay.
I have a friend whose son was on the Carl Vinson, the aircraft carrier.
Yes.
And they were stationed off Afghanistan 3 weeks before 9/11.
Yes.
And they were all out doing sorties over Afghanistan for bombing rows. And he'd have to report back to the captain every day and to determine how the progress was going with their plans. And my feeling is that they were using all the old armament to bomb a route for Unocal, which is an oil consortium that wanted to get the pipeline through Afghanistan. And that was, wait, there's a boat taking off right behind me, but it's almost gone. But I think that they were using the, well, it's almost gone. I don't know if you can hear it in the background, but
I can hear you just fine. Keep talking.
Okay, well, I was thinking that they were using it to bomb a path for the pipeline to minimize the construction involved and also to get into Afghanistan to lay claim to some of the natural resources and also the poppy plants. But to be doing the planning 3 weeks before 9/11 just shows you that there was more to this than what we've been told in Unocal. Is the company, I believe, that got the rights to that pipeline.
It was a consortium of oil companies, of which Unocal was just one. Their representative before Congress saying, we need to regime change Afghanistan so we can get the pipeline at the cost we are willing to pay versus what the Taliban was asking for. That was Hamid Karzai, who became, following the initial invasion, the installed president of Afghanistan. El Presidente de Unocal.
Okay, that's good to know. But again, going back to the bombing routes, what were they bombing? And you know, it was a continuous bombing plan. And I feel again, they're getting rid of old armament and bombing the route for the pipeline. And I'd like to see if that holds any water with that theory. But It was 3 weeks ahead of time.
So yes.
There's some great information right from the source.
I mean, it's no secret that the war plan for Afghanistan was sitting on the president's desk when 9/11 happened. Of course, he was not at his desk. He was down in Florida at the Booker T. Elementary School reading about pet goats. I don't know about the idea of bombing a pipeline right of way. Certainly, given the terrain in Afghanistan, they might have just decided some of these geological features would be better to just bomb them and get them out of the way rather than try and get the bulldozers in there. But yeah, it was all about the oil. It was all about Afghanistan's mineral wealth, which is considerable. And, of course, it was about the opium poppies because the Taliban had a zero-tolerance policy for opium. If you were caught with a plant, they'd take your hand off. And,
well, that's the same year Bush Jr. gave them almost $200 million supposedly to eradicate that, and didn't isn't Bosnia north of Afghanistan, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and didn't
yes.
Clinton bomb the heck out of them? So these bombs certainly could make a nice path, and also you have to replace those bombs. So just another part of the New World Order plan of. Taking over everybody.
Yep. But no, as soon as the United States invaded Afghanistan, the poppies were blooming, bumper crops and all. And over at my website, I have this article. It's up in that gray box near the top that says Opium in Afghanistan. And there are photographs in there of the opium poppies being guarded by coalition forces, including Americans, and bags of raw opium basically being loaded onto trucks by military people. And, of course,
right.
this was pumped into the pharmaceutical industry, which is why we have this opioid crisis today. And, of course, American drug lords were getting their piece of the action to put it out on the street.
No, just a wonderful scenario for peacekeepers and saving the country from itself.
Okay.
Yep, so you have a great day. God bless.
All right, thanks an awful lot, John. We're going to let you go here. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. All right, getting on back to our domestic politics. I think we had a caller who called in yesterday about this. But there's this story over at Hideout Now saying that there's new evidence that suggests Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, and others were in on the Jussie Smollett hoax. And there's a lot of hate crime hoaxes out there. It's good for politics. It's good for the news. They just arrested this one guy, former NFL star, vandalized his own property because he wanted the insurance money. But again, we're being ruled and controlled with lies, fraud, and deception here. Harvey Weinstein is back in the news. And you kind of wish he'd sort of go away. But his trial starts sometime next year. And his attorney is already out there doing interviews with, like, CBS News, Gayle King, trying to build sympathy for this guy, saying his life has been ruined. Even if he wins the lawsuit, he never gets to be Harvey Weinstein ever again. Well, Harvey Weinstein was not a nice person, and a lot of people said that as well. Okay, article coming out of chimpplanet.blog, basically talking about the New York Times and the Kavanaugh smear, and how badly they blew it. And a Columbia Journalism Review poll released this year found that half of all Americans have hardly any confidence at all in the media. In fact, they have less confidence in the media than they have in Congress. And again, they had that article about this spy in Russia had to be pulled out because there were concerns about Trump, you know, inadvertently saying classified information to the Russian ambassador. And it turned out the decision to remove this guy was actually made during the Obama administration because of leaks from senior Obama administration officials. But the New York Times said, well, let's bring it up to date here. And we'll just say that it was Trump. And fresh from that failure, they published that excerpt from this new book by Times reporter Robin Pogrebin and Kate Kelly, and of course they want to sell books, they want to move the books, so they had this previously unreported story about how Max Steer, we now know where this all came from, Max Steer, a male college classmate of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, and he's the one who said he saw Kavanaugh expose himself to a girl at a Yale party, and friends pushed his penis into the hands of a female student. The problem is nobody there at who's there at the party can confirm that. It's another piece of manufactured news, and it's why people do not trust the corporate media. All right, let's talk about the economic news now. And as you know, we're in the middle of this nationwide strike by the United Auto Workers, and it's already having a fallout effect. It's not just GM that's having to basically shut their factories down. It's all the companies that sell components and parts for cars and trucks to GM. And apparently next year is starting to lay off their workforce due to the disruption of the GM strike. So That is definitely a bad thing. Next year, posted a statement on Facebook that said, we'll continue to monitor the situation and work to minimize the impact on our employees. Our goal is to return to full production as quickly as possible. We'll also continue to update employees if the situation changes or as we learn more. So we're going to see this happening to the companies that manufacture tires, that manufacture the springs, that manufacture the electronics. Because, you know, the GM assembly plants, that's the word. They assemble. They don't make all the parts internally. Some of the European car companies do, but even they bring in stuff from suppliers. We had a caller earlier in the show who said that the Federal Reserve is still shoving money at the banks, and apparently in the last 48 hours, they have injected $128 billion with a B in emergency liquidity to banks. 48 hours. So earlier reports were saying this had something to do with derivatives, but we don't really know. We don't know why the banks need all this emergency cash here. And it leads to another question. This one coming from governmentslaves.news. Why, if the economy is robust and everything is okay, does the Federal Reserve keep slamming the panic button? Now, Powell is out there insisting there'll be no negative interest rates in the next crisis. I wouldn't want to bet on that. Meanwhile, the Democrats are coming up with a new tax plan, and they started with the idea of property tax, where even though you bought and paid for your home, you still have to pay, if you will, rent to the government. They want to expand that. They want a federal tax that applies to almost every major asset you own. That includes the cash in your bank account, financial assets like stocks and bonds, private business and partnership interest, your entire real estate portfolio, collectible assets like art and fine wine. Never mind that you bought these assets with money that's already been taxed. Now they want to tax it again every single year. And then when you die, they tax it yet again. It's another sign that the government is hopelessly in debt. They're out of money. They can't balance the books. Let's take a phone call. Tom in Florida. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Tom, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Yeah, Michael. Yeah, Dustin called in yesterday, and he said, being condescending, he said to me, or to our audience, that, John, you don't care about the people in the Middle East. Well, what is that supposed to mean? What? No, Dustin, I just don't want World War III. I care about everybody, but I don't want World War III, Dustin. You're making it sound like I want to, you know, I should love all the people in the Middle East. No, I don't, it's none of our business to go into war with those people, Dustin. We don't need to have World War III. You're saying, oh, I don't. Well, you should care. I don't have to care about those people. I have to care about my own country and my citizenry and my country, Dustin. I'm not worried about what's going on in the Middle East. Maybe you are, but I'm not. I'm worried about what's happening in our borders. I'm worried about our government being taken over by Bolsheviks. That's what I worry about. I don't. The Middle East is not bothering me. The Afghanistan, the Pakistans, the Iranians, the Libyans, they don't bother me. The Arabs, let them all fight it out amongst themselves. Let the Jews use the Samson plan. You know what the Samson plan is, right, Michael?
Yeah.
Well, let them use that. If they feel like they're being threatened, let them use that. You know what that is, right?
Yeah, that's where they're going to, you know, launch their supposedly secret nuclear arsenal in all directions.
Exactly. So you know what? And you know, it's funny. After 1945, they get a nuclear warhead within 12 years? It's crazy. How did they, out of the state of Israel, become a nuclear power?
Well, they stole the weapons.
All we hear about is the Nazis. Every day we hear about the Nazis. You know, the Nazis? What do you mean? The Nazis wanted, but how do we get to the moon? How do we get to the moon, Michael? The Nazis.
We have.
How do we get space exploration? The Nazis.
The German rocket sciences scientists.
Exactly. How did Russia get what they got? The Nazis. The Russian scientists. They stole the. They got half the Nazis out of it in Russia. All we hear about how bad the Germans were, the Nazis. Hey, Dustin, everybody listen to this. It was the German-Americans who saved the Jews from annihilation. It was the majority of the soldiers in America who wanted to fight their own people. Well, they not understand all you hear about, the Nazis, the Germans, the Germans are this. Hitler wasn't even a German. He was an Austrian. Austrian.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, this crap about, no, Dustin, I do not want World War III. I do not look for World War III with Iranians or the Russians. I don't want it.
I'm going to ask you to kind of calm down here a little bit. I don't want to get another fight going between you and
I don't want to fight, Michael. I'm not looking for no fight. I'm just trying to bring out the facts.
Tom, got to take another commercial break. Stay on the line. I'm coming back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in L1. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Tom in Florida. And Tom, before I give you the microphone back here, I get a lot of email about you. People think you're very smart. You've got some really good opinions. But you do need to kind of slow down so it's easier to understand what you are saying.
Okay, Michael. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, Michael, first off, I did talk to John. I called John's show yesterday. And he had a really good show. And I did bring out the fact, you know, and you know, he brought something to my point to me that, you know, the RBN, you know, could have been real big, I guess, if they had more, you know. I will donate $100 to your RBN this week. I promise you that. But I will say
good.
This. I will definitely do that. You got my word. And what I also want to say is this, Michael, though, is, you know, John was talking about RBN should have been like the OAN of cable news on the radio. And I hope that happens. I really, because, you know, RBN does wake up, you know, hopefully millions of minds what's going on in our country. And I hope that really happens. I pray that it does. As far as, like I had mentioned to him, I think these colleges should have, people should go to these colleges and mention to them about, you know, these young kids, what's going on in the world. Because they're evidently not getting the right news. They're getting fake news all over the place. And that's
oh, yeah.
the way they do, I guess. So these young minds, you know, they're getting bombarded with fake news every day. And hopefully that we can change that. But, you know, getting back to Dustin, look, I don't have a beef with Dustin, but it seems like he likes to, he just gets condescending toward me at times for things that I say on the show. And you know, like Michael yesterday, I want to hear your opinion. Do you want us to go to war with the Middle East? Should we be over there?
No,
even
course not.
Mess with those people? Exactly.
Of course
I don't
not.
Think we should be worried about what's going
I
on in Iran.
Wars to stop.
Correct.
I mean, they're not benefiting the American people. In fact, it's ruining our economy. Our government is making the same mistake as the former Soviet Union. They're bankrupting the country, spending on weapons and war.
Absolutely, and that's what I was, you know, and then Dustin's like trying to hit me where, oh, Tom, you don't care about the people. Well, no, Dustin, I care about voting in my own country. You're the one that says you don't want to vote. I vote. I vote for my who I think should be president and my leaders and my governors and all that. I vote. I go out and vote. I voted for President Trump because I think the guy was better than the other of two lesser evils, which would have been Hillary, who has what? Uranium? They don't say nothing about her and the Russian uranium. This lady should be locked up, put in jail for whatever, just BlackBerry alone. 33,000 emails she slammed. Could you imagine Trump or a Republican did that, Dustin? What would they do to that person? You know, I don't have a beef with Dustin other than the fact he likes to try to hit me back saying, well, you know what, Dustin? I think Trump's trying to do something. I mean, I'm not saying the guy is Teddy Roosevelt. Maybe he should speak more softly and carry a big stick. That would be a nice gesture for Trump to do. But, you know,
yeah.
Right now, in our history and time, what we're going through with the inner cities in this country, like I told you the other day, if you took the 10 worst cities in the United States out of the equation, this would probably be like a country like Switzerland. A safe country, no problem, everything would be great. But no, it's the media's propping all this up. The media loves this, Michael. The Bolsheviks love this turmoil. You know, you got for 2.5 years. You hear Dustin. You hear and Mike. You have the media going after Trump. He's a Russian agent. The guy's colluding
yeah.
with the Russians, and he's going to blow. What is Trump going to do as a Russian agent? Going to blow up the whole United States? Going to send nuclear warheads off in his own cities? I mean, what is this narrative that these liberals are pushing? And you got Hollywood completely controlled by leftists. You know, if
yeah.
you're a Republican
it's
on Hollywood, you can't even get in a movie
okay.
role.
Tom,
I
gotta let you go.
Mind, Mike.
Gotta let you go.
Right,
gotta take a break for
a
station identification.
Look, I love everybody.
And we'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with FrontSight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, FrontSight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, FrontSight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.